on Unios, we often deal with rising house prices and utility bills, but in one small square of the world, those prices have stayed constant for decades. Welcome to the world of Monopoly. Over 250 million copies of the game have been sold since its launch in the 1930s. Most homes have or have had a board at some time. And now a new book about the game's history has been released, written by the chief judge of the World Monopoly Championships. Next one next year, I believe, Phil Orbains, and he joins me now. Phil, for those of us who find our way around London using the board, which isn't always accurate, it's a surprise to discover that Monopoly isn't even a British invention.
Well, that's true. It was invented in America in the year 1903. At least its predecessor, I should say, began then. But I think it's to the credit of the British manufacturer of Monopoly, the John Waddington's company, that the game looks so authentically British in origin. And I've always been very proud of how Waddington's not only launched the game in the UK, but popularized it throughout Europe.
So on the U.S. board, which city is it all the names on the original one?
Well, for a minor city, it's named, the streets are named after those in Atlantic City, New Jersey, and there was a great series of coincidences that caused that to happen. But what is important is that in the 1930s, when this game was first popularized around the country, Atlantic City was, in effect, the Disney World of its day. It was the resort on the east coast of the U.S. where everyone aspired to come in the summertime. And so it was rather appropriate that it should be the subject matter for a fun game. And just by coincidence, the city planners had decided to name the streets of Atlantic City, for the most part, after states of the Union. So that gave the game sort of a continental flavor in the U.S. However, as you note, when the game came to the U.K., for example, very wisely the streets were named after important avenues and streets in London, and that gave the U.K. version a very authentic feel.
Now, one of the great revelations in your book is how Monopoly helped prisoners of war escape during the Second World War. Tell us about that.
Well, this is one of the favorite parts of the effort that I put forth to research the game, because it shows just how much Monopoly has had a positive influence on the lives of people, both in good times and bad. And during World War II, the Secret Service came to Waddington's, the maker of Monopoly, and asked them to devise a way to hide compasses, files, silk escape maps, and currency inside of Monopoly games that would then be innocuously delivered to POW camps by the Red Cross. And the Waddington mechanics found a way to cut openings in the board's cardboard liner and hide all of the tools, and then they tucked real currency under the Monopoly money in the trays of the game.
And no one suspected anything.
Well, the reason for it is, was, again, it was a quirk of history. The Germans actually were totally dependent on food coming in through the Red Cross and other agencies to meet the nutrition standards for the prisoners they held. And by adhering to these Geneva Convention standards, they were able to bargain to exchange prisoners for food and medicine, or for that matter, their own prisoners. And therefore, they tended, first of all, not to inspect these packages for that reason. And secondly, they looked upon games as being a wonderful diversion to get prisoners' minds off of thinking about escape, never knowing that the very games that were coming into the prison camp were supplying the means to escape.
Now, there's been all sorts of spin-off sets. You can get one set in Manchester, other towns. You can make your own, Springfield for The Simpsons. Do they weaken the original appeal, do you think?
No, I think that, first of all, I should point out that Waddington's today is owned by the Hasbro Corporation. Hasbro has the rights for Monopoly worldwide, and they very carefully manage the brand. They have a relationship with Winning Moves in the UK to produce these special editions that you mentioned, but they're all made in very limited quantities. So they very quickly become collector's item, and they exist side by side with the original. And by the way, the original Monopoly and its newer versions are selling better than ever before.
Even holding their own against computer games.
Oh, absolutely. And I think the reason is because when you play Monopoly, it's not so much the board and the pieces and the money that counts. It's what happens between you and I as human beings. I learn so much about you and you about me during the course of the game, so it always makes the experience fresh and vibrant.
And not always nice things from my experience. Well, as a judge, Phil, is there a secret top tip for winning, just briefly?
Yes, very briefly. Early in the game, pay immediately to get out of jail because you want to be circulating to buy property. Second, you should buy as many properties as you can because you need trading material. And if you are, in fact, on the verge of getting a monopoly, you should always try to get the color groups around the orange and the red area of the board.
I'll try and remember that. Phil Orbanes, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
That's it from us for today.